any words to encourage the people to grant us to remember only what comes from you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Many years ago, I went to see my mentor, anxious about a talk that I was going to get to a group of people. I was invited by my business colleague, and he wanted me to talk about the spirituality of work. And I said to my mentor, I'm really anxious about this. And he said, why? And I said, these are really impressive business people, and I want to make sure I can support them. He said, why do you want to help these folks? Yeah. I said, I don't think of them as needing my help. These are powerful people. I just want to make sure that I'm credible. I want to make sure I don't disappoint them. He said, if you're trying to impress people, you will always be anxious. What if you imagine instead that these people that invited you really wanted to learn something? They really had questions. They really had hunger in their hearts. And somehow, for some reason, they imagine that you have something to offer them. Are you willing to help them? Are you willing to be with them in that way? And I said, I never thought about that. He said, well, why don't you go think about that for a while and see if you find this willingness, if you can work out of that and offer them something. So time passed, and I prepared my remarks. But as I imagined being in this room with these powerful people, I felt more urgency and desperation to be impressive. And so I got really well prepared. And I went in, and I was sharp, and I was quick, and I was moody, and I was impressive. And when I left the room, my friend would invite me, came out and found me in the hall, and I said, how was that? And he said, it was all right. And seeing he was disappointed, I said, what's wrong? And he said, I just wish it could have been more like it is when you and I talk. Now, it had not occurred to me that there was a different way of being with people at that point in my life. But what I learned was that the anxiety I felt when I began to speak in front of a group of people changed if I was willing to consider giving instead of getting. If my goal is to impress people, I'm always anxious. But when my goal is to be of service, I can get it on myself. No one was ever experiencing performance anxiety when they were helping someone pick up the groceries that they dropped. No one was ever thinking about themselves when they pulled a kid out of a burning car. There's something about the posture of generosity that changes everything and makes different things possible. And my question to myself at that point in my life was, why can't I live out of that more often? Why is it that so much of my thoughts are about taking care of myself and protecting myself from threats and making sure I stay ahead of all the folks that want to change my status or take my stuff? But in those moments when I was free to be generous, I was somebody else, a better version of the person that's usually here. And the feeling that came with that was freedom. I had this experience over and over as I've worked with people who suffer from stage fright. And I work with a lot of technical folks in finance and business that come to me because they need to stand up in front of a group of people and share a message, and they're just paralyzed with fear. And so I ask the same question that my mentor used to ask me. Why do you want to help these people? Why do you want to offer yourself, your gifts, your expertise in service of what they're trying to do? Why would you want to do that? And for most people, this is a countercultural way of thinking about things. It's a mind shift. I've never, though, been able to help someone overcome the fear of standing in front of people without them deciding they were willing to move from being aggressive to being in service.
There was one guy on Wall Street that I worked with that was terrified, couldn't speak in front of people at all. And when he decided he was willing to share, willing to serve, he had something to say. And now you can see him on television. 3 weeks later, you know, people tune in that hear what he has to say. And he called me a while back and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I miss stage fright." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I used to have an excuse, and now I just have responsibility for my kids." I tell you this story because the message in the gospel this morning is Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is here. Repent, for the kingdom is here." That is the good news. That's the good news. Repent. But the kingdom is here. So it's worth us asking, what does this word repent mean? And you may have heard it said that repent means stop doing something. You may have heard it said, repent means turn around and go in a different direction. I want to offer this morning a different understanding of that word, repent, which comes from the word in the text, metanoia, which actually means try on a new way of seeing. Try on a different way of looking at things. Try on the possibility that the problem is the things you take for granted keep you seeing the same bleak stuff over and over again. Try on a different possibility of looking. In the same way that my friends would gain freedom from fear by trying on generosity instead of depressing, Jesus invited us to see things differently. And then seeing things differently, we experience God's power at work in us rather than the brittle, limited, dull experience of our ego incessantly trying to control us. Jesus had been, before this story this morning, out in the wilderness with the tempter, the devil, saying to him, "Here's how to be a leader. If you intend to go start a revolution, you've got to be able to give people bread when you get this bread. You've got to be able to jump off buildings and not be hurt, providing a spectacle that really keeps people watching. You've got to fall down and worship me, because it's through the power of this world, the economics and the military, that you get anything done. So be practical." And Jesus heard all of his offers and said, "No, that my power doesn't come from these things." He might have gone on to say, "It's depending on these things that God's where we are. So let's try something different." And the different thing we're going to try is loving. Loving, self-giving love as far as it can possibly go. So when he left the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was bringing with him a different way of thinking. That everything that is in front of us is an opportunity for us to be with our neighbor and to be with God in love. That can solve problems, we are sick. How does that deal with all of our fears and moments and gnawing anxieties? We'll let God take care of it. But our practice is simply to look and use fresh eyes and see the world differently. Not as an invitation to fear, necessity, urgency, and mindset, but as an opportunity to give rather than take, and as a possibility of learning what another is doing. I imagine that that is what James and John and Peter and Andrew saw. Because anybody who sees the world that way is breathing something. Anybody who is willing to go all the way and double down on that possibility is taking people's attention. I'm so used to being around people who are trying to get what they want, that when there's somebody who's acting differently, I pick up on it. And here we have in Jesus, that extended all the way as far as the kingdom. Paul, this morning, is writing to the church of Corinth. And it's a church that's probably a lot like a lot of communities that we're in.
And he says, would you just stop by? And no overlook the differences between you for the sake of this bigger thing that you experience. Remember what I was there. Remember when I was there and you experienced the Holy Spirit. Remember when I was there and the boundaries between us fell away and in love people were healed. And unclean spirits were innocent. Do you remember that? And now here you are, back in the spirit of Corinth, that bustling seaport city, full of traders and entrepreneurs, such as they can, and all of these flashy teachers, speakers in the marketplace, trying to collect disciples by being brave, slick, and impressive. And we're all used to picking the one we like best. I'm on team Sanchez over here, or I'm on team Philo over here. And it's kind of like the sports teams, that who's the teacher that you find most delightful? And Paul says, it's that different way of thinking. The way of thinking that sees that the most important experience in human possibility is Jesus crucified. That means self-being love, taking all the way as all things to the extreme. All the way into the other world. With anything we think we have to hang on to. We keep loving and loving and loving until through death God raises and vindicates and proves the truth of it. There isn't any reason. So why don't you try practicing that in the video? And instead of getting ahead of other people, instead of boasting, instead of separating yourself by which flag you're flying, which school you're on, why don't you try the gentle, self-giving love? We may not make it all the way as far as Jesus did, certainly not in this lifetime. But how small can you make your experience? How small can you test the possibility? But when I stop doing this and start doing this, something changes. I experience God's presence and God's power. And Paul is saying to them, don't get swept back up into the spirit that creates so much pain and creates so much damage and brokenness. But instead, in little ways, pick up some of the challenge. In small ways, plant some little flowers. In small ways, see each other through the eyes. Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, come with me, and I will make you fishers of people. And I understand that to mean, come with me, and you are going to be in the center of the new community, where people experience one another in wholeness and hope, and experience one another in the spirit of God. And you will be collecting relationship and love and sweeping others into it. I noticed this morning as I was reading that passage that Jesus started building his new community with brothers, people who are brothers, and with fishermen, people who already knew each other and worked. And from there, he was able to extend to tax collectors and zealots and beyond that. But the small steps inviting people to see differently what you already have, that's how Jesus began to change things. When I am really, really lucky, when I have been practicing and I'm loose, I have these experiences that for me are the presence of God in my life. This past week, I went to pick up something at Walgreens. It was a young man standing outside, and I looked in his eyes, and he looked in mine, and he said, good morning. And I said, good morning, and he said, can you give me money so I can get something? And I said, what are you going to get? And he said, a couple of beef sticks, some candy bars, and a Red Bull. I said, I bet that's in there. He said, yeah, I just had money I could get. I said, let me see what I can find. And I went in the store, I don't know what they're for. because I had bought week six as I was a kid. And so the staff was out laughing, they showed me around the store, and then he discovered a new grocery out of our mail. And I found a bar with an extra peanuts in it that he said he liked. And when I went outside, we lived in the snack together. And he told me about why he liked this particular thing. And I said, I am so glad that I asked. And when I got in the car, I realized I had never been for the last 2 minutes, for the last bit of this morning. And then there was a spirit in me that felt like salvation. And then there was a spirit in me that felt free, that was thankful, that was hopeful. And I didn't choose that. God just said it came and did that in me for a moment. Because that's what I really want. And it's what I want because I'm trying to practice seeing the world through His eyes. For everything we're given is just an excuse. To let the muscles of love work. So, wherever it is, I am in this week, where I'm likely to judge somebody, or disagree with people, or get angry, or get triggered, or get in a hurry and have to move on. May the Spirit of the grace of God be initial to hear from Jesus' call in my life. May the Spirit by the grace of God give me eyes to see where there is a light shining in the darkness, which is surely what we're all hoping to see. May the Spirit of God bless us. But in those moments, we're able to just, even a little bit, let go of what we're clinging to and hiding so that we can express in generosity, expressing itself in us, and be proud of that life, in order to feel and believe. May God continue to give us grace, through Jesus' call, to follow and prepare the path of the moment. And in so doing, to experience the presence of the Spirit and the connection with one another that is our salvation.